Would you turn your Bibles, please, to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, in the 12th chapter, and we'll be reading a couple of verses at the end of that chapter, verses 48 through 50, where Jesus is engaged in a discussion with some people about his relatives and those who are his relatives. We see that someone, this person remains unidentified in verse 47, that someone said to him, "Behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you." Jesus took this as an occasion then to talk about those that are related to him. Not about Mary and not about his brothers, but rather those that would be related to him in a spiritual family. Those that would be tied to him in kinship in the family of God. He says in verse 48, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother." Now, Jesus made it very clear on this occasion as he spoke about this kinship, this relationship that he had with these who were his disciples, that it was a family-like relationship. And so he spoke in these terms of a family. These people, these are the ones who are my mother and my brother, brothers and my sisters. These people who are seeking to do the will of God who is in heaven. These are those that comprise my family. I want to talk to you for a few minutes tonight about this idea of being related to Jesus, of having a kinship to him, about being his brothers or his sisters, as he uses the phraseology there in Matthew's account. So I want to talk to you, first of all, about Jesus as a son and a brother. Because indeed, that Jesus is the basis upon which this kind of kinship and relationship to him can exist. First of all, Jesus, of course, is identified in the scriptures as being a son. He came into this world, made an entrance by means of a physical birth to be the Son of God. And he is so identified throughout the scriptures. Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, we see where he is identified as the Son of God. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 1, the Gospel of Mark begins by identifying itself as the Gospel of the Son of God. Over in Matthew chapter 14, just a couple of pages over from where we read, Matthew chapter 14 and verse 33, we're told that those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "You are certainly God's son." And there are many, many other instances where we have people attributing to Jesus sonship, a relationship to God the Father. It's I heard some time ago an Islamic imam, a teacher, a preacher of in their religion, making the comment that God does not beget. God does not have a physical son. It's just not possible. He was making the argument. Now they would accept Jesus as a prophet, but nothing more than that. Just a human being, certainly a very capable teacher, an influential teacher, but nothing more than that. Well, of course, there's a problem with that idea, that it simply does not comply with what the scriptures say. We've looked at just a couple of the many scriptures in which Jesus is identified as the Son of God. Now, some might say that imam might say, well, yeah, that's coming from the Bible, and we, you know, we reject that as a reliable record. Well, the problem with that still is that, as we've seen in Matthew, the 14th chapter, Jesus never rejects this idea. Now, here's this great man, this good and influential teacher of God, as they would acknowledge, this prophet of God who has people giving to him recognition of deity, giving to him recognition as God's son, and not one word is ever spoken by him to correct that misconception. Later on, of course, when Jesus' trial, we see where his critics charge him. They say to him, tell us plainly, are you the Son of God? And he says, you have said. Which is just a version of saying, yes, that's right. So it is plainly claimed in the Scriptures that Jesus is the Son of God. And it is never denied by Jesus himself that he is God's son. And in fact, we could find other instances where Jesus did in fact make the claim himself that he was God's son. Well, that's significant, obviously. And it has a bearing on this matter of relationship, of being a brother. Jesus, as a brother, is again spoken of in many instances. In the text that we began with, he just by necessity is acknowledging that a brotherly relationship will exist between himself and all those who would seek to do the will of his Father in heaven. All of those that would seek to do the will of God, he is acknowledging, would be his brothers and his sisters. Well, clearly that establishes the fact that Jesus is claiming to be a brother as well as a son. But look, if you would, at some verses where we have this being taught by the inspired writers in the book of Romans, for instance. Romans chapter 8 and verses 14 through 17. It says, all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Now, Jesus is the Son of God. But what the Apostle Paul is acknowledging here is that others can be the sons of God as well. They can be the children of God, as Scriptures often speak of. But who is it? It's those who are being led by the Spirit of God. For you have not, verse 15, you've not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. We have this relationship with God as Father, Paul says. And we cry out to him as our Father. Why? Because we're his sons. We're his children. Because we're being led by the Spirit of God. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. We are, as children of God, we are heirs of God. We are those who are going to inherit certain blessings from God because he's our Father in this spiritual relationship. And because he is our Father, and he is also clearly defined and identified in Scriptures as being the Father of Jesus, the Son of God, then we maintain this relationship with Jesus also, a brotherly or a sisterly relationship with Jesus. Turn over to the book of Hebrews, where the writer of the Hebrew letter makes much the same kind of point, Hebrews chapter 2. And listen to what he says about this idea of of a brotherly relationship. Hebrews 2, verses 10 and 11. It was fitting for him, he's speaking about Jesus, it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and through whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. You get that picture in your mind that the writer is talking about. Here is the one who is Father. He is Father to the one who sanctifies. That's Jesus who sanctifies us. And he is therefore the Father of those who are sanctified through Jesus. And so Jesus, the sanctifier, is not ashamed to call those that he has sanctified brethren. Jesus has this relationship, this familial relationship with those that he saves. He becomes their brother. They become his brethren. Now, Jesus, I think, as we've noted, Jesus makes this clear in our text in Matthew 12, verses 48 through 50. Who are the brethren of Jesus? If we accept this principle that people can become the children of God, and by that relationship they can become the brethren or the sisters of Jesus, if we accept that, then we certainly would want to ask ourselves the question, I would suspect, well, who are these people? Well, you go back to that text that we began with in Matthew 12, and in verse 50, you see where Jesus makes a clear identification of who these people are, who can be acknowledged as his brothers and sisters. He says, it is whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven. He is my brother and my sister and my mother. The basis of the relationship of being brother or sister to Jesus, the basis of the relationship of being a child of God's, of having God as our Father, is obedience. It's obedience. It is whether or not we are willing to do the will of Jesus' Father who is in heaven. What's involved in that, or how critical is it? Let's just look at a few verses over in the book of John, where Jesus particularly seems to discuss this subject in chapters 4, 5, and 6. In chapter 4, in verse 34, for instance, we're told that Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." Chapter 5, we see where he says in verse 30, that I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And then finally in chapter 6 and in verse 38, he says, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. The basis of Jesus' relationship to God as his Father was not only by virtue of his being begotten by the Father, but it was also by virtue of his obeying the Father, of his being willing to have this relationship with the God of heaven as Jesus was upon the earth. This relationship that could be characterized only by being one of obedience. He learned obedience through the things that he suffered, the Hebrew writer would say. And we see from the words of, from the lips of Jesus himself in these three texts in the Gospel of John that he said, this is what I'm committed to. This is the basis of what I do. So Jesus was not only the Son of God by virtue of his birth, he was the Son of God by virtue of his obedience. And that, it seems to me, introduces a critical point to us. about our own relationship to God as a Father, so that we can be rightly described as being His children. What's the basis for that? What's the basis for our being rightly described as being brothers and sisters of Jesus? It is that same obedience. John chapter 8, if you would please. John chapter 8, verses 54 and 55. It seems that the point is made here that it's not enough to just claim this relationship. I mean, you think about it. How many people in this world are people who claim to be children of God, who claim to have Jesus as their brother? Well, there are multiplied millions of people. But it's not enough just to say, I have that relationship. It's not enough for me to say, well, you know, I'm the child of Bill Gates. Not enough for me to claim that. You know, I think I ought to get some of that money because I'm the son of Bill Gates. Well, I can claim it all I want to. But the proof is what is necessary. And the proof is what is necessary for whether or not a person is a son or a daughter of God. Look in verses 54 and 55 of John chapter 8. Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. If I glorify myself," that's what I did when I said, I'm the son of Bill Gates. I was glorifying myself. But that does nothing. It accomplishes nothing. "It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say," Jesus says to this group of Jews listening to him, "of whom you say, he is our God." That was the claim they were making. In verse 55, "And you have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I shall be a liar," listen to it, "like you. But I do know him and keep his word." You get the connection there again? What's the basis, Jesus, for your being able to claim that you know him? What's the basis of your claim that you are his son, that you have a relationship with him? It is by virtue of the fact that I keep his word. "You," he said to these people listening to him, "you don't do that." And so your claim to know him, when you say he is our God, what you're doing is you're lying. Just like I was when I said, well, Bill Gates is my father and I need to get some of that money. The basis of the relationship of Jesus to his father was built upon his willingness to be obedient to his father. The basis of your relationship to God as your father is based upon your willingness to be obedient to him. And if you will be obedient to him, then you not only will be related to him as his child, but you'll be related to his son, Jesus, as your brother. But now I want you to think with me for a few moments becoming the brother of Jesus. Over in John chapter 1, verses 11 through 13, we find where John records that He came down, speaking of Jesus, he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. Meaning those who were his creation, those that people would not receive him. "But as many as received him," verse 12, "to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Here's another little twist, if you will, to this relationship matter. It's not based upon the flesh. It's not based upon the will of men. It's not like my relationship to my Father that was a result of the flesh. That's not the way that we become children of God. But we become children of God by virtue of God's will. And we're right back to that idea again of being willing like Jesus was to do the will of Him who sent me. Are you willing to do the will of God? Well, for those that are, what John chapter 1 says is, then you have the right to become the child of God. When you travel out of this country, you most likely, depending on where you go, but you will most likely have to carry with you a passport. That gives you the right to travel, to go outside of this country. It gives you the right to come back into this country. Now, what John is saying is that those who received Jesus, those who were willing to believe that he was indeed who he claimed to be, God's Son, the only one who could offer to them the opportunity to become God's child themselves, those who would receive him, they received the right to become a child of God. Now, if you're not willing to obey the will of God, then you have no right to be a child of God. If I'm not willing to do the will of God who sent Jesus into this world, then I have no right to claim that I am a child of God or that I have Jesus as my brother. And that's exactly what Jesus was saying to those folks back in chapter 8, verses 54 and 55, when he says, you're lying. You're representing yourself to be something that you are not. And that's one of the tragic truths about this religious world, is that there are so many people who will represent themselves as being something that they are not, who will claim to have the right to do something that they don't have the right to do because they're not willing to do the will of Him who sent Jesus into this world. Well, not only do we become a brother of Jesus, but once becoming a brother of Jesus, we need to maintain that relationship. So how do you maintain the relationship to Jesus as your brother and to God as your Father in heaven? You know, those first century Christians, those earliest responders to the gospel of Jesus, had hardly obeyed the gospel than when there came challenges to them and to their faith. Over in the book of Galatians chapter 3, threats to the relationship that they had with God and with Jesus arose. And Paul addressed it by this way. He says in verse 1 of Galatians 3, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Now here are these folks who were being influenced to embrace parts of the law of Moses. And Paul just asked them, is that the way that you learned the truth? Did you begin in your faith? Did you begin by compliance with the law of Moses, or did you begin by compliance with faith in Jesus? What did you comply with? What did you submit to in the beginning of your faith? Well, obviously the answer was that they had relied upon faith in Jesus to be the means by which they would be delivered. It was the means by which they could become God's children. It was the means by which they could become a brother or a sister to Jesus. And so having begun in that fashion, Paul's question to them is, are you now going to be perfected by reliance upon something else? Well, obviously, it was a foolish thought that could be so. The brotherhood of Jesus is not maintained by complying with the law of Moses. Nor is it maintained by necessarily trying to uphold the brethren. You know, sometimes I think we kind of get a notion in our minds that our, and I don't want to be misunderstood by the way I say this, but by having our allegiances to the brotherhood, our allegiances to the church, and I do believe that there certainly is a proper allegiance that we ought to feel to one another. But that's not the means by which we began our relationship as sons and daughters of God, or brothers and sisters with Christ. It's not the church that provided that for us, but it was Jesus. It was our faith in Jesus that supplied that for us. And to maintain our relationship with God and with Jesus, we see in Galatians 3 in verses 6 and 7 that Paul says, even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. There's that imagery of a family again. You want to be sons and daughters of Abraham? He said to these people who were being influenced to comply with the law. You want to be sons and daughters of Abraham? Well, you're not gonna accomplish it through the flesh, but you can in faith. You can be sons and daughters of Abraham by your faith. You drop down then to verse 29, and he says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. You want to maintain a relationship with God as your Father, with Jesus as your brother? You know, we can't choose our family, our earthly family. Didn't have any say-so in who my mother and father were going to be. I'm very glad who they were. But I had no input into that. And I'm stuck with my brother and my sister. Nothing I can do to change that. They're my brother and my sister. But I tell you, when it comes to the spiritual family that we're a part of, we do have input. We do have a say. And if you're going to remain in the family of God and be the brother or the sister to Jesus, then it's going to rely upon whether or not you are willing to maintain the faith that first put you into that relationship. Whether you're willing to maintain that and to keep it, then you can continue to be in that family of God. You can choose otherwise, like those Galatians were choosing. You can choose some other way, some other means. You can choose some other family, spiritual family. And you can leave the family of God if you want. But if you want to maintain that relationship in His family, you're going to have to rely upon faith in your older brother, Jesus, who will keep you as his brother and as the child of his father. If you don't have that relationship, your life is poorer for it. If you don't have that relationship, your life could be so much better. If you would choose a family to be a part of, if you'd choose God's family, if you would choose like Jesus said there in Matthew 12, because you're willing to do the will of Him who sent Jesus, if you would choose to be the brother or the sister of Jesus, would you choose that tonight? Well, it's going to have to be done on the basis of your willingness to obey. As we've seen, that's the basis of this relationship. Will you obey Him when He said that unless you believe that I am He, you're going to die in your sins? Will you obey Him when He said, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish? Will you obey Him when He said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father? And will you obey Him when He says, go into all the world, preach the gospel? He that believes and is baptized will be saved. Will you do that? If you strayed away from His family, the great thing about this family is that you can get back in. They'll let you back in. Sometimes brothers and sisters won't do that. Sometimes parents in the flesh won't do that. But God will. So if you've strayed from Him, won't you come back to Him and be a part of that family again? We pray you will while we stand and sing.